morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is daf Dalet. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned Lezech and Ishmael Sliba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are in Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're in the middle of the Gemara asking a very basic question. We learned in our Mishnah back on Beis Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that a woman can be nipmis kadeshes to a man in one of three ways: kesef, shtar, ubiya. So the first of the three ways in which a woman can enter into marriage is through kesef, is through money. The Gemara already touched on the answer to this question already in the very beginning, the Daf Beis Amud Aleph, but as Rashi pointed out, that wasn't the Gemara really addressing the question of where do we know this from. The Gemara just was simply getting involved in another issue, a linguistic issue of the Mishnah, and the Gemara just kind of went along with saying more than it needed to say, but the Gemara kind of got on a roll. But in the meantime, however, in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, which we started yesterday, the Gemara asked a very basic question: Minalei, how do I know? How do I know that a woman can be miskadeshes through money? Where does it say that in the Torah? In fact, the Gemara asks really a question with a follow-up question. A, how do I know that a man can be mekadesh a woman with money? B, how do I know that a father can be mekadesh his daughter with money? And then, kind of like C, whatever, I guess you call it 2B. And how do I know that when the father's mekadesh his young daughter with money, how do I know that the father becomes the recipient of the money? Okay, so really, those are the basic questions that the Gemara laid out in terms of what is the source in the Torah. You read the Chumash cover to cover, so you're not going to find anywhere in the Chumash where there's a clear indication that Kiddushin can be created through money. So the question is very simple, therefore, how do I know? So the Gemara is in the middle of addressing that question, and most of today's daf, both daf Dalet Amud Aleph and daf Dalet Amud Beis, with exception to the very tail end of daf Dalet Amud Beis, is really an answer to that question. So you know if it's a long answer to a relatively straightforward and simple question, so you know the answer is going to be intricate, and the answer is going to be and the answer is going to be based on deduction, right? I just referenced the Rambam another time. It's a fundamental point of this whole discussion. The Rambam says that there are three ways a man is mekadesh a woman, as per our Mishnah, kesef, shtar, ubiya. But the Rambam says that as far as shtar and biya are concerned, so that's a custom of Torah. That's mentioned in the Torah. So we're going to talk exactly where it's mentioned in the Torah, but it's mentioned in the Torah. The Rambam says in terms of kesef, how do I know it from? Divrei Sofrim. So the Rambam calls it Divrei Sofrim. Exactly what the Rambam means by that. So up for much discussion in terms of the first kesef Mishnah over there goes in depth in terms of what the Rambam means by that. For our purposes, in terms of the Lomdei Hadaf, the learners of the Daf, Divrei Sofrim is very simple. It takes a daf of Gemara to answer the question of how do I know, more than a daf. A daf of Gemara to know how a man's mekadesh a woman through money. Where's the source of that? So it takes our Gemara an entire daf. So, Divrei Sofrim, meaning it's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's not a simple, straightforward answer of, hey, let's take a look at that pasuk over there. The Gemara yesterday started off by citing the pasuk. If you take a look at towards the top of the top of Gimel Amud Beis, we did this yesterday, but let's just quickly start again so that we get one complete answer to the question. So I'll start again from the beginning of the question. Minale v'su, how do I know this? How do I know that a woman is miskadeshes with money? V'su, and furthermore, how did not the Gemara quotes a Mishnah of Zakai bebita b'kedusha b'kesef b'shar v'biya minalan demikanya b'kesef v'kesef davuahu? And how do I know that a father's mikadesh his minor daughter with money? And how do I know that the money goes to the father? So Amar Yudam Rav Damar Kravi Yatzachina min kasef. So the Gemara quotes from Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah gives an avenue for a man to sell his minor daughter as an ama, as a slave. She, as we mentioned yesterday, the real purpose of doing so is so that the girl, when she gets older, will be married to either the owner who purchased her or the son of the owner who purchased her. One of those two. The Torah, that's the goal of such an arrangement. And if it doesn't happen, so she goes free. That's what the Torah describes. Yatzachinam, she goes out free. Ein kasef. There's not going to be any money. Meaning so that there can be no no compensation to the one who purchased her when in fact she's free. So the Gemara now notes, why does the Torah have to say v'yatzachinam and ein kasef? Seems to be redundant. To which the Gemara says ein kasef ladon se, aval yesh kasef ladon acher. So to this owner of this girl who is now being freed, he's not going to be receiving any money, but there's another circumstance where another quote-unquote owner is going to be receiving money. The other owner is the father, meaning the father has rights over her, he has a jurisdiction over her. And so in such a scenario, there would be money. The Gemara says, good. Now what you've explained to me is that when the adon, meaning the other adon, the father marries her off, there's going to be, in fact, a monetary transaction. How do I know it goes to the father? Maybe it goes to her. The Gemara's question. So the Gemara says it's illogical, because we know the Torah says it's biti nasati li shazeh. That's in reference to the Motzi Shemra, where the father says, I married her off. And the father has the ability, the jurisdiction of marrying off his daughter. And the Gemara says it's simply illogical that the father is the one who is doing the kiddushin, and meanwhile the daughter is going to be receiving the money. So he's the baldover. He's the one who is in the quote unquote in the driver's seat when his daughter is a minor. So the Gemara says it's just simply illogical. So the Gemara says, fine, I'm completely resolved on the idea that when she's a katana, you're right, father's going to marry her off because the father has that ability. And anyway, she doesn't have a yad, meaning she can't on her own get married as a katana because she doesn't have a yad. So the Gemara says, I get it. When she's a katana, father's going to marry her off and the father's going to accept the money. But the Gemara says, but let's go one more stage in her development. The girl goes through three stages, katnas, nara, and bagras. Nara is from 12 to 12 and a half, most of the time. From 12 to 12 and a half years of age. Later this morning, we'll talk about how it's possible for a woman to skip the stage of nara. But for our time purposes, the general path of development for a girl is katnas, nara, and bagras. So the Gemara says, look, the father has jurisdiction and continues to have jurisdiction while his daughter is both a katana and a nara. So the Gemara says, when she's a nara, can we make the following argument? She's a nara, she has a yad, she's an adult, although being under the jurisdiction of her father. But maybe when she's a nara, father will marry her off, but because she has a yad, and because she herself could have accepted kiddushin, so therefore, the money's going to go to her. Maybe that's true. So the Gemara says, no, that's not going to be correct. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Matos, where the Torah identifies the father as being still the Baal Hadavar when his daughter is both a katana and a nara. Benara beis aviyah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Benara beis aviyah. So the Gemara says, Vela hadam rav huna rav minayin shemaseh abas la'av. How do I know that any of her earnings go to the father? Shenemar v'chim koishas bito lama. Ma'ama masiyah del rabba. Av basnami masiyah del aviyah. So the Gemara says, when we were asking the question regarding the earnings of the daughter, how do I know the earnings go to the father? So the Gemara quoted back to the Parsha of Mishpatim, and the Gemara quoted a drasha of, he sells his daughter as a slave. Meaning, what is he selling? He's selling, again, not the goof, not the individual themselves. He's selling the services of his daughter. What does that mean? He means he owns the services of the daughter. The Gemara's question is, how do I know that the father is going to be able to collect her earnings? Just like an ama, her maisi yadeh go to her master. So to the daughter, the maisi yadeh go to the master. So the Gemara's question now is very simple. You quoted the pasuk from Parshas Matos. You quoted the pasuk of Nu Rabbe Savia. Shouldn't that be the answer to all of our questions? Tepuk lemi benura ha beis avia. That should be the answer to the question. Ela ba'afars nadar mu dechsev. So the Gemara says, you know that the pasuk and matos has nothing to do with money. It has to do with hafars nadarim. That if a daughter makes an neder, the father can annul the vow, just expunge the vow, either while his daughter is a katana, or even one stage earlier where the daughter is a nara. So that the pasuk over there is coming to teach us that the daughter is under the jurisdiction of the father as it relates to hafaras nadarim, the ability to annul a vow. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, that's all the Torah is telling us in Parshas Matos. That should not be the source that when a father marries off his daughter, even as an ara, so that he should accept the kesef kiddushin. The Gemara says, okay, but you can't extrapolate, meaning you see over there that the daughter's, while an ara, is under the jurisdiction of the father. You see it because the father can be made for neder. If the father can't be made for neder, shouldn't he enjoy, benefit all other benefits of the daughter while she's an ara, including the kesef kiddushin? So the Gemara says, "Mimona masir lo yafinan." No, says the Gemara, we're not going to do that. Hafaras nadarim exists in the world of iser, right? Making a neder is an iser. Lifting somebody from a neder, that's involved in the category of iser. We're not talking about iser right now. We're talking about money. So the Gemara says, you can't jump from the subject of iser to the subject of money. So the Gemara says, well, what about kanas? As Rashi over here points out, when the Gemara is asking about kanas, we know that if God forbid, a girl is violated, so the Ma'anes has to pay a kenas, and the kenas of Ones and Pitui go to the father. The kenas of 50 kesef, 50 kesef. So that goes to the father. So the Gemara says, so can we learn from there that if the kenas is going to the father, so too kesef kiddushin should go to the father as well? So the Gemara says, memona mekenas lo yafinan. The Gemara says, no, you can't. That's also a jump, because kenas is also a chiddush. Kenas is punitive. It's not compensatory. There are compensatory payments, which the Gemara in just a moment is about to ask about. There are compensatory payments, but not the kenas. And you can't learn anything from kenas, because as Rashi over here points out, kenas is a chiddush. It's such a novel idea. So again, back to square one. How do I know that the money, compensatory money, goes to the father? So the Gemara says, okay, so what about this? When we're not going to change this scenario, same scenario, a woman is an ones, a man was ma'aneser, so the man has to pay both kenas, and he also has to pay the regular compensatory damages of nezek, including Boshes and Pagam. And Boshes and Pagam, who's going to be the recipient of Boshes and Pagam? The father's going to be the recipient. Again, doesn't that indicate to you that the father is going to be receiving all compensation for his daughter?
Isn't that also a
kenas? No. Boshes and Pagam is compensation for her loss. It's not kenas. It's mamon. So the Gemara says, Shani Boshes and Pagam, Davu Shech Megavayu. So the Gemara says, once again, I will localize Boshes and Pagam and tell you that that may be limited to Boshes and Pagam and may not apply to Kesef Kiddushin. Why not? Why should that be? Because Boshes and Pagam, the Gemara describes as the father having Sheichus in Boshes and Pagam. Why should that be? Rashi, once again, Yeshlo din chelik behen sheyesh b'yado levaisho lepogma, because it's within the right. Now, clearly, we're not condoning, the Gemara's not condoning. The Gemara's just simply saying it's within the ability of the father to embarrass his daughter and to be poking his daughter. Rashi writes, Bishvo Mamon, she knew lo, da hai bai masala la manuva mukashkin. Because remember, the father we know can marry off his daughter while she's a katana, while she's an ara. So the Boshes and Pagam is a loss that is suffered, I don't mean suffered physically, I mean suffered monetarily by the father. Because the father could have been Mavaisher, and the Gemara could have been, the father could have been poging her by marrying her off to whomever he wants, somebody who is disgusting. To Havile Boshes and Pagam. Va'ana says, Shabala, Mechaser Mamozer, Shazilzala, Veloi Kafzu Allah Tovim. And when someone's Ma'anis her, so now that represents a monetary loss to the father, who was the, who ultimately is the address of that money. So once again, question: how do I know the kesef kiddushin of the nara goes to the father? Katana, the Gemara says, fine. Yatsi yatsa chinam ein kasef. But we're talking now about a nara. How do I know? Nura beisavia, that has to do with afar sedarim. Knas, that's a chiddush. Boshus and pagam, that's just something that anyway, from a monetary standpoint, was owned by the father. The father had the shaychus in that. So where do I know the kesef kedushin of a nara goes to the father? That's still the question. The Gemara now continues to discuss. Ella mistabra hachi kamemayit yitzia dekavasa kamemayit. So the Gemara says we're going to go back to the pasuk yatzachina min kasef. Now the reason why we didn't like that pasuk to begin with is because we thought that pasuk is talking about a katana. And a katana, yes, it's true. The money of a katana goes to the father. The kesef kedushin of a katana goes to the father. But the Gemara says we want to advance that one more stage. We want to talk about nara. The Gemara now made a number of proposals. Nura beisavia. The Gemara says, okay, we can't learn from there. We're going to go back to the pasuk of Mishpatim, and the pasuk of Mishpatim is going to be the source. Take a look at the last Rashi on Gimel Amud Beis. La ola mikra kama de ein kesef la adon ze nafka. We're going to go back to the pasuk and parsha of Mishpatim. And again, what was our question? I know the father can marry her off when she's an ara, but maybe the money should go to her. So the Gemara says that what we're going to do is, if the Torah is making an exclusion, the Torah is saying, in this case, in kasef, meaning when the ama ivriya exits her adon, her owner, so there's not going to be money. Meaning in a comparable case, in a parallel case, there would be money. What's the parallel case? You'd see it the kavasei kamamite, top of dalam and aleph. We're looking at now an exit that's going to be very similar. So, and what is an exit that's very similar? Rashi on the top of dalam and aleph. You'd see us erusin, dumidi, you'd see us ama. Her exit through erusin. Meaning when the father accepts kedushin, it's going to be very similar. Now, the Gemara is going to know in just a moment. It's not the same. But it's similar, and the Gemara and Rashi writes, Yitzias Erison, Dumi Yitzias Amma Kamamai, Midin Amma, Ula Meimer Diyesh Kesefba. So, and it's coming to teach us that in the case where she exits, just like an Amma exits her owner, there's going to be no money. In a parallel case where the daughter exits her father, there is going to be money. Uma Yitzia Amma Ivriya in Kesef La'adon, and just like we're blocking the money in the case of the Adon case from the money going to the master, in the parallel case, we are allowing the money to go to the quote unquote Adon Acher, the father. Then Afka Mirshu say Kamakra. Afmir Diesh Kesef, the Kadaik Litzias Erison, Yesh Kesef. Lemish Yatze Emenu Kamar Vahinu Av. That is the Gemara's construction of an argument in terms of how do I know that the father is the recipient of the money. And the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, I'm not really following. How are these parallel cases? Let's start off with an Amri Vriya by the Adon. When she goes free, she goes free. It is a full release from her being an Amma Ivriya. She has absolutely no connection whatsoever to her master when she goes free. Here, if you want to make the parallel case, the case of Erisin, the father is marrying her off. In the case of Erisin, she is not fully free yet. All she is mikudeshes to another man. But the father still has certain rights over his daughter if all she has is just kedushin. So the Gemara says, and she's not going to be totally freed from her father until chuppah, until the second stage of marriage. So the Gemara says, b'hafar is nadar, miya nafkala, mirushu say. So the Gemara says, it's true, but it's still fair to call it a parallel scenario because in some halachas, she is now cut off from the father. She's separate. She's detached from the father. For example, the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. We've seen this Mishnah before. Nara hamurasa avio bala mafir nedereha. When you have a nara hamurasa. So, she is still connected to the father. She's not a bogeris. She's a nara. She's not married. She's not fully married. She only went through the first stage of marriage. So she's a nara. She's a murasa. So in terms of if she makes a neder, who is going to be made for the neder? Avia ubala mefir nedareha. So the father by himself cannot be made for a neder. So it's a reflection of the fact that there has been some severance from her father when she is a nara meurasa. So the Gemara says, okay, obviously it's not the same as an amavir going free, but at least it's enough for us to say it's a parallel case. Fine. That is not right now where the Gemara's position is regarding how do I know that the father can marry off his daughter when she's a katana and when she's a nara, and how do I know that the father is a recipient of the money both when she's a katana and when she's a nara. So the Gemara says is the ain kasef is telling us that the master doesn't get money, telling us that in a parallel scenario the Adon Achir is going to get money, and the Adon Achir is the father. And when the father marries her off as a nara, he's going to be recipient of the money. Gemara says, okay, that's all well and good. The Gemara says that you're darshaning the pasuk of Yatzachinam, and meanwhile, we already have it dedicated towards another drasha. And you know one of the basic rules throughout Shas, one drasha through per pasuk or per phrase, and you cannot double dip. And the Gemara says, the Tanya will enter the price of Yatzachinam, Eli Yimei Bagris, Ein Kasef Eli Yimei Naris. That the Yatzachinim, she goes free. When is that true? When she's a Bageris. Ain't Kesef, there's no money, meaning she's going free and there's not going to be any compensation. That's while she's a Nara. Now, admittedly, and the Gemara is going to recognize this, that if I already know she goes free as a Nara, so then it goes without saying that she's going to go free when she's a Bogeris. In fact, she's going to be a Nara before she's a Bogeris. So the Drasha is admittedly a little bit strange sounding. She goes free when she's a Bogeris. Oh, and she's going to go free also when she's a Nara.
She's already gone by
then. Right. It seems to be redundancy. I know that. The Gemara knows that. The Gemara is going to alert us to that issue in just a moment. But right now, let's just stay focused on the Gemara's point, and which is it's already darshaned. So since you have a drasha dedicated from this phrase, how can I generate a second drasha? I'm Ravina Mken Le Makra Ein Kesef. My Ein Kesef. So the Gemara says, okay, the drush is being generated from is the additional yud. The Torah could have written Ein Kesef Aleph Nun. Instead of it wrote Aleph Yud Nun. So we are now generating an additional drusha from the superfluous yud, which was unnecessary. Umi mai de darshin and haki de tanya, the Gemara says, and really? A yud is subject to a drasha? The Gemara says, absolutely. The Gemara quotes the brayso of a zera ein la, ein li ela zara. Zera zara minayin. We know that a bas kohen, once she gets married, so and if she's married to a non-kohen, she can no longer eat truma. If, however, she goes through either death or divorce, she returns back to her father's home to be able to eat truma. However, if she has a child from her non-kohen husband, so now she's going to be prevented from eating truma. And not only if she has a child, but even if she has a grandchild. And how do I know that? Zera ein la. Because the Torah describes her not having a child, and the Torah says, Zera ein la, aleph yud nun. So the Gemara says, ayin la. The additional yud allows for a drasha of not only if she doesn't have a child, but ayin la. Look further into it. Investigate the matter. Even if she doesn't have a child, but she has a grandchild, she's still going to be prevented from eating truma. And let's go even one step further. Let's even say that the child that she has is not even a kosher child. Let's say the child she has is pasul. Now, just to sharpen your question, a little bit, Tosfos is bothered by pretty much your question. Tosfos is bothered by the fact if she had a pasul child, that means that she had an illicit act of relations, which would make her a chalala, which in of itself would prevent her from eating truma. So Rashi points, I'm sorry, Tosfos over here points that out. Okay, there are a number of
could be a grandchild.
Exactly. It could be a grandchild. How do I know that even an offspring, which isn't even kosher, how do I know that such a child can disqualify her from will disqualify from Truma. Minayin tamar lomar zera ein la. It's that yud between the aleph and the nun. That is creating the drasha. Ayin la. V'hafik de la zera zara. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You just did what we said we're not allowed to do. You just double dipped. You learned that one halacha of child, grandchild, and you learned the second halacha, which is, and even if that child, even if that grandchild, even if that offspring is pasul, you just double dipped. So the Gemara says, no, we didn't. I mean, yes, we did, but no, we didn't. Zera zera in lo tzirich kara de bnei banim harei in kabanim. So the Gemara says, there's no difference halachically between a child and a grandchild. Meaning, if we know a child is going to disqualify her from Truma, a grandchild is as well. That's the principle of B'nei Banim Harein Kebanim. Your grandchildren or your children, halachically, not in every halacha, but halachically, they are the same. So we don't need a drasha to tell us that the grandchild itself is also going to passel her from Truma. That is Zera Ein La. What are we learning out from the additional Yud? Ki Yitzter Akra Le Zera Pasol. So the additional Yud is coming to tell us that even a Zera Pasol is going to disqualify her from eating Truma. Anyway, what we've gained from all this is the idea that when you have a Yud, and that Yud is an extra Yud, so therefore it allows for an extra Drasha. Now going back to our Pasuk of, how do I know that the father accepts Kesef Kedushin for his Nara daughter, and how do I know that he's the recipient, not the Nara daughter is the recipient of the Kesef Kedushin? So the Gemara says, Yatzachinam Ein Kesef. And the Yud in Ein Kesef allows for that additional Drasha, even though we already had a Drasha of Yatzachinam Ein Kesef. The Gemara says, V'tana gufa minala d'darish hachi, and the Gemara's question is very simple, and the Tana itself, how do the Tana know that the Yud allows for an extra Joshua? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says, because it's written, Me'ein Bil'am, Me'ein Yavami. We have Pesukim in the Torah that write the word Ein, Aleph Nun, without the Yud. So you see that it's within the It's within the realm of the Torah to write the word Ein Aleph Nun. So once you see that, and that now sets our default setting, once you add a Yud, that allows for a Drasha. Delok Ksiv BeYud, V'Hach Ksiv BeYud, Shema Minola Drasha, Hu Da'asi. So that is now teaching us that there it is, it's open for a Drasha. Now, Itzrich L'Michtav, so did you just see what happened over the course of this discussion? We now know that the Kesef Kiddushin of the Nara daughter go to the father. We also know that the Masiya Deha of the daughter go to the father. And we had two separate drushas that arrived to that point in time. To which the Gemara wants to know, isn't that a little bit redundant? The Gemara says no. The Ikas Rachmana Kiddusha Lavia Hava Mina Mishum Dilo Tarcha Bahu Hava Masiya Da Katarcha Bahu Ema Dida Havu. The Gemara says, look, if the Kesef Kiddusha went to the father, she didn't do anything to earn that money. She didn't work for that money. So I might have thought, okay, the Torah wants that money to go to the father. But the Masiya Da, which she earns and she works for, maybe that stays by her. V'yesh Mina Masiya Da Deka Mitzanami Nay Aval Kiddusha Deme Amaka. And as far as Masiya Deh are concerned, so the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that the Masiya Deh should go to the father because the father anyway is feeding her and supporting her, and it creates a reciprocal quid pro quo relationship between the father and the daughter. The daughter is going to work and the daughter's earnings are going to go to the father, and at the same time, the father is going to support her and feed her. But the Gemara says, but the Kesef Kiddushin, That's coming from an external source. I might have thought, let her keep that money. So the Gemara says, you could have constructed arguments in both directions, and that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say that the Maisi Adam go to the father, and the Kesef Kiddushin go to the father as well. Okay. What do we have right now? We have basically our first source of the morning in terms of how do I know that that Kiddushin can be affected through Kesef Kiddushin, and then follow-up question to that, how do I know that the father can marry off his daughter through the means of Kesef Kiddushin, and finally 2B of that question, and how do I know that the Kesef Kiddushin goes to the father and not to the Nara daughter? So basically the answer to that question is from the Pasuk of Yatzachinam in Kesef and Kesef Ladon Zev, Ava Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher, and we identified as the father. Gufa. The Gemara says, you know, we almost did not like that using that pasuk because it already had another drasha. What was that other drasha? The other drasha was telling us when exactly the Amma Ivriya, who was sold by the father to the Adon, when did she go free from the Adon? So Yatza Chinam, she goes free when she's a Bogeris. Ein Kesef, she goes free when she's an Ara. And the obvious question, which the Gemara waited till this moment to ask, but now is going to ask, is that's redundant. If she goes free when she's a Bulgaris, of course she's going to go free. Sorry, let me say that again, and let me say it correctly. If she goes free when she's an Ara, then of course she goes free when she's a Bulgaris. In fact, she's gone already. there's nothing to talk about. She's not even there anymore. So Gufa, v'yatzachinam elyim e'bagris, and kesav elyim e'naris. V'lichter v'chman e'naris, v'lo b'yibagris. So the Gemara says, come on. If the Torah would have just written one of the two, that would have been sufficient. And the one that the Torah needed to write was Nara, and that's it. So I'm a rabbi, barzev, limit alzev. So the Gemara says it's a method, it's a style. Yeah, it's a style of the Torah, in which the Torah is giving you a drasha and a second drasha, and the second drasha is redundant. But if the Torah only would have given me one drasha, I only would have exercised it towards the lesser of the Chiddush. Meaning, if the Torah would have just said either Yasachinam or Ein Kasef, and one of the two and not both, I would have said she goes free. But what stage? Only the last stage, her last developmental stage. The Torah gives me both now, so that I can apply one to Bagris, and I can apply a second one to Naris as well. Now, I guess it only begs the question, why doesn't the Torah just simply say she goes free when she's an Ara? Meaning, that would have resolved all this without having to use this argument. But anyway, we may answer that question later on. But anyway, and the Gemara says, and this is not unprecedented. We have other places in the Torah where the Torah has such a style. And the Gemara says it's no different. Then another area in halacha regarding the eating of truma. The eating of truma, so what do we know? The wife of a kohen can eat truma, the eved kenani of a kohen can eat truma, and kind of odd, but it actually makes perfect sense, the eved ivri of a kohen cannot eat truma. Okay, now why should that be? Because the only one who has the allowance to eat truma is kinyan kaspo. Only an acquisition of the Kohen. So his wife, his Eved Kenani, but not an Eved Ivri. Just by the way, as a point of interest, really, really interesting question, the Eved Kenani, we totally understand, he is a king and kesef of the Kohen. The Kohen purchased the Eved Kenani, and therefore the Eved Kenani can eat Truma. The wife is not king and kesef, she's not king and kesef in the sense that he purchased her. Now again, Kesef Kiddushin, I know we use the word Kinyan, right? Ha'isha Niknes. I know we use the word Kinyan. But like we've said since day one of our Masechta, he's not purchasing her. It's not a Kinyan Haguf. It changes her status. It makes her a married woman. It makes her from a single woman to a married woman. So it's funny that, funny meaning needs an explanation.
But there are a lot of parallels between the Yevadim
and the agreed. Agreed. I'm not asking a question. I'm just highlighting an interesting point in that in the world of eating truma, the wife is more parallel to the Eved Kenani than she is to the Eved Ivri. Okay, but anyway. But the Eved Ivri cannot eat truma because he's an employee. Okay, indentured. Can't leave his employment right now, but the Eved is an Eved Ivri is an employee, not an acquisition of the Kohen. And therefore the Eved Ivri can't eat Truma. And it doesn't matter whether the Eved Ivri is a temporary Eved Ivri. When I say temporary, I mean 6 years, or Le'olam. After 6 years, says to his master, love it here. Love you, love working here, do me a favor, pierce my ear, I want to be here forever. Now, forever doesn't really mean forever. Forever means until Yovel. But in other words, we know. That's an Eved Ivri La'olam. So the Gemara says that's what the Torah is telling us with the double language of Toshav V'Sachir. Let's see it inside. Detanya. Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Olam. Sachir Zekanu Kinyan Shanim. If you have someone who was purchased forever, meaning an Eved Ivri Hanirza, versus just a standard Eved Ivri, both of them cannot eat Truma. So Yomer Tosha v'lo Yomer Sachir. V'ani Omer. Kanu kinyan olam eino ochel. Kanu kinyan shanim lo kol shekein. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Here we're going to ask the same exact question. You only need to tell me one of those two. If the Nirtza can't eat Truma, and think about it, the Nirtza is hired here indefinitely for the foreseeable future. Again, I know Yovel frees him, but it's the Torah's description. La'olam. And he can't eat Truma, even though he's going to be here for a long time. If he can't eat Truma, so of course the Eved Ivri, who's only going to be here for 6 years, is for sure not going to be able to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, why don't... That's a very simple argument. So the Gemara says, "Ilu kena isi omer toshav zekanu kinyan shanim, avakanu kinyan olam ochel basachir v'limid al toshav shafa pisha kanu kinyan olam eno ochel." So the Gemara says that's exactly what the Torah is doing by giving us both terms of toshav and sachir. So now we know one is applied to the Eved Ivri, standard Eved Ivri, 6 year Eved Ivri. The other one now is going to apply to kanu kinyan olam, the nirtza, and the reason why the Torah has to say both is so that, because if the Torah only said it, would have said one, I would have applied that one to the lesser of the Chiddush and not to the bigger of the Chiddush. And I would have only precluded the Eved Ivri 6 year from eating Truma, not the Nirtza. That's why the Torah has to say both. So the Gemara says, same thing over here. So the Torah over here says, Yatzachina Min Kesef, it's talking about both the Nara and the Bogeris. The Gemara says, Amalei, Abaye Emi Dami. Abaye says, come on. So the Gemara says, okay, look, there, in the case of the contrast between an Eved Ivri 6 year and an Eved Ivri Nirtza La'olam, so the Gemara says those are two different people. And even though we could have generated a kavachomer, the Torah wants to go out of its way, tell us the kavachomer is very good, but we're gonna spell it out. Both of them cannot eat truma. But those are two different people. But over here, alahacha chagufahi. But over here, every bogeris, now I say every knowing that I'm not right, but I'm mostly right, every bogeris at one point in time was an ara. So all you need to do is tell me she's free when she's an ara, and of course she's free when she's a bulgaris. It goes without saying. And the Gemara says, Abai's argument over here is, I really can't compare the two constructs. And the Gemara says, Ki nafka le benaros, bagros my bai gabe. And let's just take this one step further. If she was free when she was an ara, we're not even having a discussion of, oh, and she gets freed when she's a bulgaris as well. What's even the point of discussion? She's not around anymore. So I can't really compare the two. So Ella Amar Abai Lanitzucha Ella Lebeg Lebagar the Ilonis. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, we have been assuming, because that's what happens most of the time, that the developmental stage of a woman goes from being a Katana to being a Nara to being a Bulgaris. Sometimes you can skip Nara. How can you skip Nara? So the Gemara goes on to explain. The Gemara does not explain. So let me explain. How does a girl go from being a Ketana to being a Nara? And the answer is Simanim. Two things, actually. Shanim and Simanim. 12 years of age, and she needs the physical maturation signs of Shtei Saros. Then she goes from being a Ketana to being a Nara. And that period lasts for 6 months. Right? The Gemara says time and again, Shmuel's rule, that that a woman is an hour for 6 months, and then after that very short adolescence period, so then at 12 and a half years of age, she's a full-fledged Bulgaris. Okay. I might have thought that our Ama Ivriya is going to go free, and she's going to go free and she's an Ara. But she necessarily needs to experience the stage of Nara. If a girl, as a Ketana, is 12 years of age, but she has no physical maturation. She does not have simanim, meaning she's an islandess. Right? The Gemara describes a girl who doesn't show signs of physical maturation as being an islandess. Right? The Gemara has either a correlation or a causation, however you want to say it, where she's not physically mature, she's not going to have children, we could explain it as some sort of hormonal imbalance. However, whatever the explanation is, she doesn't enter into the stage of Nara. And then what happens? From 12 years, we wait for the next 8 years. if she experiences no physical maturation signs at 20 years of age, she goes from having been a ketana to being a bogeris. And she's going to skip the stage of nara. Now, if such a girl/woman was sold as an amivria, I might have thought she's never going to go free. Because freedom only requires demands that she goes through a stage of nara. And had the Torah only mentioned nara, I might have thought that this girl doesn't go free. That's why the Torah has to give me the double drasha of yatzachinam, that's when she's a nara, and kesef, that's when she's a bulgaris. And now it becomes necessary in a case where she never was a nara. The Gemara says exactly this point. Kamash Malan.
What is the status of 12 and a half to 20?
So she is she's a ketana. She's only bogeres when she turns 20.
So she's not until then.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll continue to be a ketana until 20, and at 20 she becomes a bogeres. I saw a grape shot in the pasuk. You know, by Sarimenu. So it says that she was 100, she was 20, and she was 7. Rashi, famous Rashi. Rashi says, at 7 she was as, I'm sorry, at 20 she was as beautiful. At 7, at 100, she was as free of chait as she was when she was 20. And the classic commentaries on Rashi say, 20? What do you mean 20? The number should be 12, right? Because at 12 she's a bas mitzvah. So why 20? Oh, I don't know. I should be giving credit, and I don't know who to credit to. We also know that Sari Mena was an islandess. That's why 20 for her became the significant number, because she never had the stage of being a nara.
So at
20 she becomes a bogeris. She totally skipped the stage of nara. Anyway, so sagda achamina benaras tepek lebebagras lo tepek kamash malan. So now we have the explanation of why I need the double drasha of both bogeris and nara. So maskev la marbar avashi v'lav kavachomer hu. So the Gemara says, now all this is well and good, but it stands to argue. Let's use a simple logical argument. Look, simanim, her physical maturation. If she wasn't sold, then she still was under the jurisdiction of her father. She stays with the father. And she stays with the father, and she's under the jurisdiction of the father until she's 12 and a half years of age. Simanim doesn't remove her from the father. Now, the next developmental stage of Bagras, which totally removes her from the father, that should take her away from the jurisdiction of her master. So the Gemara says, look, I understand now, you explained to me beautifully the need for the double drasha. But even without the double drasha, the Kal V'chomer by itself would have led us to the conclusion that of course she goes free when she's a bogeris. If bogeris removes her from the father, where simanim doesn't, simanim removes her from the adon, for sure bogeris should remove her from the adon. So ella mar baravashi lo nitzucha ella li'ikar zvina de'ailonis. So the Gemara says, mar baravashi explains, I'll tell you why it is that I need the double drasha of Yatzachinam and Kesef. It's there to tell us that an islandess altogether can be sold. Here's what I might have thought. Sakadat Chemin, I might have thought, Dasi Simani Naros, Havizvina, Delo Asi Simani Naros, Lo Havizvina. That only if she goes to the stage of Nara, then the sale was a sale. But if she never goes to the stage of Nara, then the sale was not a sale. Now, admittedly, this point of the Gemara is difficult to hear and to understand, because we're only going to discover this at a later point in time. The sale of the daughter is when she's a katana. And now, later, when she skips the stage of Nara, so what the Gemara now is arguing is, well, maybe under those circumstances, the sale never was a sale. But we're only going to discover that at a later point in time, not at the time of the sale. Okay, admittedly, that's a difficulty. Tosfos raises it. But in the meantime, we're going to go on. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, V'yatzachinam V'chule. And that's why the Torah tells us the double drasha, to tell us that a father has the right to sell his daughter, and it's irrespective of whether or not she goes through the stage of Nara or she does not go through the stage of Nara. So ulama baravashi damar v'lav kavachomer hu harmina milsadasik v'kavachomer tarf v'kasav lekra. So the The Gemara says, now according to Marbar Avashi, so isn't it, doesn't it stand to reason? So, and can't we just develop a very simple Kavachomer that arrives at this conclusion? So the Gemara says, So it's true we say that sometimes even when something can be deduced through a kavachomer, the Torah goes out of its way to say it. But the Gemara says that's true, but that's only if there is no way to answer up for the kavachomer. So, but if there's a way to answer up for the kavachomer, so then the Torah is going to go out of its way and state it. Okay. So that is all answer number one. Question. How do I know the father can marry off his daughter? That's right. The first question is, how do I know that a woman can get married through Ketzav Kedusha? That's one. Two. How do I know that the father can marry off his daughter through Ketzav Kedusha? And then 2B, how do I know that the father is going to be the recipient of that Ketzav Kedusha money? Answer right now, from the beginning when the Gemara asked the question on Gimel Amud Beis to this very point in time now on Dal Amud Beis, the answer to that question is Yatzah Chinam Ein Kasef. There is no money in this transaction, in this release, but in a parallel release, there would be money. And just like in the Adon case, the one who was blocked from receiving the money is the Adon, so in the parallel case, the recipient of the money is going to be the father. Okay, that's answer number one. The Gemara says, Tanya, Vitana Maisa Lemehacha. There is another pasuk and another drasha, and it's derived from another source. And that is the Tanya. Ki ika chishi shao v'ala. The Torah describes a man taking a woman and he has relations with her. Ve'hayayim lo simsa chen be'enav. Ki matza ba'er vazdavar. And it didn't work out, and the Torah goes on. But right now we're focusing on the mechanism of getting into marriage. The Torah's description is ki yikach, literally meaning to take. But to take over here is understood in what context? In kicha, ela bekesef. Kicha is understood as money. V'cheinu omer nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. And we know that because when Avram buys Maras HaMachpelah, he uses kesef. And what's the verb that the Torah uses over there to describe the acquisition? Kach mimeni. Take it from me. So you see that the word kicha is in the context of money. Okay? The classic Zera Shava that we quoted on day one of the Masechta, and then the Gemara is quoting again over here. Huh? It's not a comparison. It's not a comparison. It's a definition of kicha.
That's acquisition of a land. It's acquisition of
Understood. Understood. The focus of the Gemara is modifying the word kach. What does the word kicha mean? Kicha means to take. I understand. One's talking about land, the other's talking about a woman. But in terms of the mechanism in which the kicha works, it's through money. Now, v'alo dinu ma'ama yivra she'ina niknas bibiya niknas bekesef zusha niknas bibiya in addition tikna bekesef. So the Gemara says, okay. So we have now, let's call it Xerishav. It's the easiest way to say it. It's the generally the way we do say it. It's learned out through the kicha of Ze'efram. Okay, if you want to be argumentative, it doesn't necessarily have to be Gzeir Shava. It can be just simply be the Torah giving us a definition, what the Gemara calls elsewhere, Gilui Milsa. Okay, but either way, the Gemara says, why do I need it? Meaning, can we generate a simple argument? And the argument will go like this. My Ami Yivriya, Shena Niklas Bibiya. Now, an Ami Yivriya, when she's acquired, she's not acquired through Bia, meaning someone is going to buy the Ami Yivriya from her father, and the means in which is going to be money. And it's only money. And it's not going to be Bia. So, Niklas Bekesef, and Zusha Niknas Bibiya, in addition, Niktashitna Bekesef, a woman going into a marriage where one of the ways of acquisition is Bia, that's actually in the Pasuk itself, you don't need to look that far, Kiyikach Ish Isha Uva'ala. So Bia is one of the means of acquisition, so if Bia is one of the means of acquisition, so Kesef should be as well. That's the Gemara's argument. The Gemara says, okay, that's an argument, but Yivama Tochiach. But I'll show you other areas in Halacha. She niknas bibiya v'eino niknas bekesef. So we know that a Yivama, when she's in the position of being a Yivama, how does the Yavam concretize a marriage, one and only one way to concretize a marriage, and that is only bia, not kesef. So you see that sometimes bia is to the exclusion of kesef. So the Gemara says, okay, but yavama can't be part of our discussion because the yavama can't be acquired with a shtar, and meanwhile, a woman with marriage can be acquired through a shtar. So tamalama ki yikach ish. So halamalikra ha'asile. So the Gemara says, now why did you need the pasuk? Didn't we? Can't we just derive it through the kal vachomer that we just explained? Am ravashi mishum deikal meimar mikara the dina pircha. So the Gemara says, well, the kal vachomer is nifrach. We can blow up the kal vachomer. How so? Meicha kamaisin slame ama ha'ivriya. Because your point of derivation is coming from the ama ivriya. Mala ama ivriya shekain yotze bekesef. Tamer bezu sheina yotze bekesef. You can't. It's not a parallel scenario because the ama ivriya, when she exits her master, she exits with money, meaning she can buy her way out of her ama ivriya, or someone can sponsor her out of the ama ivriya. But money is a means in which she can exit. It's not true regarding a woman in marriage. A woman in marriage cannot exit with money, right? We just learned this at the end of Gittin. Only sefer krisus creates severance between husband and wife. Only the contract, only the shtar, the get, but not money. So tamalama ki yikach ish. So therefore, we need the drasha of ki yikach, using the purchasing of Maris HaMachpelah as the defining point of what ki yikach means, i.e. money, and we need the drasha. The Gemara says, now, we're almost done for today. What do we have now? Two answers to our original question. How do I know that a woman can create kesef kedushin? Sorry. How do I know that a woman can be miskadeshes with money? So we have now source number one, Yatzachina Main Kasef. That was most of today's daf. And we have source number two, which is the Kicha Kicha from Stay Ephron. Two answers to the question, and the Gemara says, are they complementary to one another? And the Gemara is, we're going to basically say, yes, they are. The Gemara says they're both necessary. So the Gemara says, because if all I had was kikach ish isha, I would have thought that the money that's being given to her is going to be received by her. But what if the father's marrying her off? Maybe not. Maybe kesef kedushin is not going to be the way of entering into the marriage. So that's why I need the pasuk of yatzachinam in kasef. Because rechman of yatzachinam hava mina hecha di ahava ihi lididei v'kidashto have a kedushin. Because rechman kikach v'lo kisikach. The Gemara says, and I might have thought that if all I had was the pasuk of Yatzachina Main Kasev, that's only if the father accepts Kesef Kedushin. Then and only then is the Kedushin going to be valid. So if in the case where the woman herself is the one affecting the marriage, I might have thought that the money can not only go in the direction from him to her, but I might have thought that the money can go from the direction of her to him. So the Gemara says that's what the Torah is telling me with ki yikach v'lo ki sikach. He has to do the acquiring, not she. So therefore, he's the one who's going to be giving the money, and not she. So both drushas are necessary and complementary to one another. Okay, and that answers our question. The Rambam's description of Divrei Sofrim. How do I know that a man can be mekadesh with money? How do I know when the father marries off his daughter, the kedushin can be affected through money? How do I know that the father becomes a recipient? Answers: one drasha of Yatzachina Main Kasef. This Adon is not going to be receiving Kasef. Adon Acher, the other master, meaning the father, when marrying off is going to receive. We spent a good part of today's daf addressing the question of at what stage are we talking about? Katnus, Narus, the need of the Torah giving me the drasha of both her being freed at being a Nara and being a Bogeris. But basically, that is one drasha, Yatzachina Main Kasef. Second drasha, which I would call the more popular drasha, because it's the one the Gemara, even when the Gemara itself, when referencing, the Gemara quotes the second drasha of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, the Gzeir Shava, that tells us that the word Kicha is done through money. And therefore, that's the second answer. And the Gemara concludes by saying that when all said and done, I really need both of these drashas. They really are complementary to one another. Each one of them specifying a particular point in terms of Kiddushin with money. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the next method of Kiddushin. Tomorrow we start with Bia. We go to Shtar.